Log Talk Radio.
Man, it's just amazing how 7 p.m. creeps up so fast. But for the people listeners, you're here. You're on UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all the latest information on there. So make sure you check that out. But on the line with me, hopefully you're still with me. Pete Jr., you there, my man?
I'm here, sir.
Okay, good. So real quick, just, you know, to break everything down or whatever, I was going to have AJ on earlier because not only did he wrestle for us Sunday, but he has a big fight coming up. So he was supposed to come on. He didn't. So luckily, Pete Jr. was able to come on early. I was going to bring him on at about 7:15 so we could talk a little bit about the show and things of that nature. So I'll tell you what, Pete, if he does call or whatever, we'll just break in and talk to him a little bit about his fight, and then we'll go back to what we're talking about. But how are you doing, my man? How's everything after the big show on Sunday?
I'm doing great. I'm still riding that buzz from that show. That was an excellent show.
You know, I gotta be like honest, man. Manny and I go back and forth. Real quick for the people who maybe are new to the show or just barely listening or whatever. And you know, when all this came about, when Manny took over and he bought UWC, and you know, he just decided, he said, "Look, man, this is what I want to do," or whatever. And we fight constantly because I'm like, you know, and I hate to talk like this on the air, but I'm like, "Manny, are you shitting money? What's wrong?" He's, no. You know, I'm working double shifts, you know, because I want to do this and I want to do that. But, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, I've been doing this for over 20, almost 25 years. And so, you know, but when I'm wrong, I'll admit it. You know what I mean? Because, like, he wanted to, you know, he put money into these banners or whatever. And I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing?" You know? And then my daughter, Nicolette Marie, she was like, when we went to those, she said, "Man, those banners look really professional. You could tell that, you know, you're coming to a show." And I said, "But you know what? I was wrong. You know, they look good." So then with the, you know, we were just, you know, playing music and letting the guys come out through the curtain or whatever. But then, you know, he decided to have the whole, you know, kit and caboodle, the lights and the fog and, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, "You know what, dude, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to quit." He's, you know, and he's like, no, just wait. You know, I'm telling you, it's going to be a show. People are going to go, "Man, that wasn't just wrestling. It was a show." And there, well, the show before, you know, I got a lot of good feedback, but this show, people were actually walking up to me going, "Dude, that was a show." I mean, that just everything from the wrestling to the lights to the music to, you know, what there was to eat, everything was just spot on. So I had to say, "Hey, you know what, I was wrong," you know. So there's, you know, you learn something new all the time or whatever. But real quick before we continue on, start talking a little bit about the matches. I mean, give me your thoughts on that, Pete. I mean, I think it does make a pretty big difference, right?
Oh, yeah, it makes a huge difference. I think we have a great a roster full of great talent. And I think coming to a setup like we had on Sunday, it got them even more hyped up to put on a great show. Coming out, like having that entrance walkway to come out with the fog and the lights playing, it just hypes you. Like just walking out, when I was just running around doing things back and forth, just walking out through that curtain, I would get hyped up like I was about to get in the ring.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, so I can imagine what these guys are going through, and like it just helps you take that to the next level. And yeah. I feel like these guys, they really went out there and put on, like, everyone put on great efforts. Like there wasn't a bad match that entire night.
Yeah, and there was like no. Usually I'll get a little bit of, I mean, it just comes with the territory, a little bit of negative feedback. But this was really the first show where I didn't have any of that. Usually somebody goes, "Oh, dude, you should have did this or that." I haven't had any of that so far. I mean, it was just Sunday and we're Tuesday. But, you know, it just goes to show that what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So the thing that makes me happy is, you know, it and it's funny, real quick before we continue on with that, this – most of the time it's just Manny and myself at the meeting, you know, and we go over matches and I say, "Look, man, if we put this guy with this guy, this is going to work. Well, we have to pay this guy this much. Well, let's do this, you know, and it's just us. And I'm like, you know,
yeah,
I really want to get, you know, the family involved, because it really is a team effort, you know? So the meeting the Sunday before was the first time that we had everybody. We had Pete, we had your sister, we had the granddaughter, we had, you know, everybody came together. And I think that being, you know, a concerted effort for everybody wanting to get it to the next level is what made the difference. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. Like, we were so excited. After that meeting, we were so excited, just counting down the days till that show. And, I mean, Jello, she went out there. She was refereeing. Her first time refereeing. She did two matches refereeing, and she was so hyped up, so ready to be out there. Her nerves got to her a little bit, but she was so hyped up. She did a great job. She did a great job reffing those matches.
Once you get out there, it's just that first one. But once you get into it, then it just, everything just kind of falls into place, you know, or whatever. So I agree. I think she did really well. And for some reason, Pete, you know, especially like when I'm doing this show, I get my ratings, you know, or whatever. And when I had an all women show, I had like, you know, a jiu-jitsu champion and a judo champion, and the ratings just skyrocketed. So when you have a girl and they see him in there and they're like, it's just for some reason a whole different ballgame, and my ratings go up and people are happy and they just, you know, they just want to see it. So it would just added another dimension to how well the show turned out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It added that excitement level to it to a whole nother degree.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to talk a little bit about the matches, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what it takes to put on a show, because, you know, we talk about this a lot, especially on this show, you know, that people just see the finished product. They don't see, you know, the behind the scenes of what happens or whatever, because we put about 14 hats on Pete for this show. Because first it's like, hey, man, you know, we're going to have you announce. Okay, well, we're not going to have you announce. We're going to have you do commentary. Well, we're not going to have you do commentary now. We're going to have you do this. And then when Manny said, but look, everybody's here, I said, hey, well, let me have him run the back. So that way, because, you know, and it's partially my fault. I don't think you should really wrestle on the same day of the show if you don't have help, because then you're running around and you don't have time. So I said, great, Pete's here. Let me have him run the back. So Pete gets the lineup and he's like, all right, these guys are on deck, you know, and people don't see that too. You know, you got, you know, the first two to come out, they're on deck, they're ready to go. And, you hear the music and you want to send them out at a certain time, because just when it hits, you know, bam, you take them out and boom, you know, it all that adds up to that. So I have Luis walking out the wrestlers to the ring, and then Pete's the one sending them out. He's got them on deck. So see, people don't really see that, you know, the behind the scenes, and I'm busy. I got stuff going on or whatever. So real quick, talk a little bit about that, how that was running the back there. First of all, most of the guys we have there are professional. So we don't have to worry too much. Talk a little bit. No, any problems, or did everybody was ready to go?
You know, everybody was ready to go. Like I said again, we have a roster of some excellent talent. Everyone there is hungry. They're ready to work. They want to be out there and they want to put on a good show. So it was just a matter of me. Hey, you're getting up next. Are you ready? Oh yeah, we're ready. And then, you know, hey, 5 minutes, they'd walk over to the curtains and they'd be ready. They'd be hyped and I'd be there. I'd have the curtains ready for them. And as soon as Luis was there to take them to the front, I'd open the curtains, let them out. And then it was smooth sailing. It was a lot of fun working with these guys, you know, watching everyone get ready, watching everyone get into that mode, and then letting them go out there and feeling that energy just get, you could feel that buzz backstage, and that was really fun, just being a part of that.
Yeah, and even that, even with, you know, with for some reason I was calling her Jell-O Pudding, but then we started calling her PG Jell-O for Pete's granddaughter, Jell-O, or whatever. Yeah. So, it was like, we're like, hey, man, you know, she's the boss in there. If she hits a five count and you don't break it up, that match is over. You know, so it was just, you know, a matter of respect, and you have to know what's going on or whatever. So it just the little things like that are what makes it even, you know, even better. Or because, you know, Pete, anybody could rent a venue, rent a ring and throw some people out there. But it's just the other stuff that, that you know, that it's all part of it or whatever. But anyways, real quick, Pete, let me take a quick break. AJ just sent me the number, so we'll can you hang on with us while we go talk to AJ for a minute?
No, definitely.
Yeah, hang on with us real quick. Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. Everybody, you're back here live at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. We're going to give AJ a call. Let him know. I should have sent him a text to let him know we're calling because we're calling the gym direct. So hopefully it should be good because it's a landline.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this.
Okay, hold on. To be honest, it might have been me. So hold on a second. You know what? Let me take another break, Pete, and I'll shoot him the number for here. You know what? I'll even do it on air, so that the people, if anybody else is listening, they can call themselves. So let me just pull that up real quick here. You gotta love live broadcast, right, Pete?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Well, anything and everything can go wrong.
The number is 563. Okay, even with glasses on, God dang it. And then, hold on a second. I'm telling you, man, too many chair shots to the head. So 999 and then 3016. So 3016. Okay, send that to him. Okay, so for the people listening to us, that's the call-in number. If you want, you can call. We're going to talk to AJ real quick, but if you want to call in and give your two cents or whatever as Pete and I continue to talk about the show, that's the call-in number. It's area code 563, and it is 999-3016. So hopefully AJ gets that, and we'll be able to get him on air or whatever. And I want to talk a little bit about his match, because AJ is fairly new to the game, and you know, we talk about throwing him into the deep end. We threw him right into the deep end with some serious veteran wrestlers in Guyam and Fletcher Fugaz. But luckily, Robbie, who's been in the business for a long time, was able to be his partner and go from there. You know, I sent this text, bro, and it says delivered, and he hasn't read it. So he gave me the 562. Hold on. You know what? Let's try his number again. And they go, how can you call me? And I'm going, you gave me the wrong number. 562-531-7040. That's what he gave me. So let's try it again. Oh. Maybe that was me.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no.
All right, Pete. Hey. Let me take another quick break so I can let him know what's going on. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back. Quick break. I shot him a text and said, hey, bro, the number that you gave me is no good. And I gave him the call-in number, which is 563-999-3016. So he should, if he would take a look at whatever phone he shot this from, he'll be able to check it out. So he's probably sitting by the phone thinking that we're going to call him, and he gave me the wrong number. So we'll just continue on from here. But anyways, so I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, and this is another thing that people don't understand. This lineup had been set for, I'm going to say at least 2 months, maybe more, maybe close to 3 months or whatever. So, you know, I set the lineup, I call everybody, I make sure that they're, you know, that they're available, everything's good to go, whatever, right? Cool, no problem. So we get to, this is what happens to me as a booker. Why anybody would want to be a booker in this day and age. I have no idea. But this is what happens, and this happens every show, that at least 2 days before, my phone starts ringing. Hey, bro, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I got this. Can I get some more money? Well, what about this guy? I want to bring this guy to be my partner. I'm like, dude, the card is set. We talked about it. We talked about a set price. Okay, no problem. So the day before, I get a call from Cristal Coatele. Hey, bro, I'm sick. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm sorry, blah, 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 whatever. No problem, dude. At least you called and told me, so I knew he wasn't coming. So then somebody else wasn't going to be able to make it, so it was going to be Freddie Gonzalez, Freddie Flores, and B.A. Marcus Barre. We brought in B.A. Marcus at the last minute. So it's showtime, bro. Well, first of all, before that, Hades said he doesn't work first match. He said, hey, man, I don't work first match. I'm not going to – I said, absolutely no problem. Don't even worry about it, bro. So I told Maligno, hey, you know, this is just the way it worked out. It's not the person. He's like, dude, who cares? I'm as long as I'm on the show, no problem. All right, cool. So I had to find somebody for him. So luckily, Sexy Chino, hey, bro, you could put me wherever, dude. As long as I'm on the show, I'm good with the cool. Crisis averted on that one. So the day of the show, I'm in the back. We're good to go. Call time was 12:30. So Freddie Gonzalez, he comes in. I think Freddie Helmuth is his ring name. Sorry about that, Fred. Don't mean to put you out there. But he comes and he walks in and he throws his hands up. He goes, don't know what happened to Freddie. I said, what do you mean? He goes, no, man, I've been calling him for 2 days. He hasn't answered my call. And B.A. Marcus Baracus was his ride or whatever. So that's two people on the day of 2 hours before the show that weren't coming. So I said, oh, dude. So luckily, Steve Dodge was there. So I had, you know, we're trying to get somebody. JBD just happened to be training down the street, but he doesn't have a car. Mm-hmm. So I had to pay Steve Dodge to go pick him up and bring him down. But the dude saved my ass because we didn't have anybody, you know. So he came down, and I'm like, hey, bro, I appreciate you coming down. And, you know, not so much saving the show, but just saved me from having a headache or somebody having to work double duty or whatever. So this is just the kind of things that you have to deal with. Now, I'm the type of person that, look, man, I'll listen to your story. I'll give you a second chance. I mean, as things happen or whatever, because it's happened to me before. So, but after a couple of times, I'm not going to put you anymore. Now, we're talking about Pistol Pete Sr. here. You don't show up after you, especially the day of, not only are you not going to work anymore, but you can get an ass whooping or whatever, because that's how much havoc that you wreak. So, I mean, would you agree with me, Pete Jr.? I mean, he didn't play that stuff.
Oh, no, he didn't play
Are you still there, Pete? You're cutting in and out. Hold on. Pete, if you're still there, hold on. Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Okay, hold on.
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe this is why what's happening. Hey, you're live on UWC Radio. Who is this?
This is AJ Mana checking in.
You know, you gave me the number. I put it in the system, and it came up no longer in service. So that's how come I had to send you the call-in number. So you got a few minutes to talk, and I just want to talk to you real quick. I know you got a lot going on. So you good for about 5-10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so real quick for the people, you're here, UWC Radio. I got Pistol Pete Jr. hanging with me. We're talking a little bit about the show, but on the line with us right now, AJ Mana. AJ, a lot to talk about, so I just want to cut right to the chase, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, when I put this match together, you know, and it was Robbie, and you came, and Robbie's like, hey, bro, AJ and I have been working quite a bit together. We've been training. I think we're ready, you know, for this match. And I was a little skeptical. I said, hey, man, you know, these are some well-seasoned veterans or whatever, but I gotta be honest, man. I mean, that match popped. I mean, there were so many people. There was a Samoan contingency, and then there was a Mexican contingency, and all that just really brought out to make it, you know, a happening, not just a wrestling match. So, real quick, give me your thoughts on that. I mean, I know AJ Mana doesn't get nervous, but did you kind of feel that when you came out the curtain?
To be quite honest, I was a bit nervous, and the reason I was nervous is because that is one of very few times that I've had my family present. Not only that, it was the introduction of my official entrance theme as I was given the blessing to do so by the band themselves, known as Shepherd Rain, and the song entitled Ainga. It really hit home for me walking out there because my Ainga was there. So, a very meaningful moment for me.
Real quick, before we continue on, Pete was running the back for me, and I could hear, I was getting dressed on the other side, and I could hear that they played the wrong song. They started playing Kodo's song, who already went out. And
yes,
I could hear, AJ going, real quick, Pete, what happened back there? Was there some AJ Mana going crazy back there?
Oh, AJ Mana was hot. AJ Mana was hot. But you know what? DJ caught it, fixed it right away, and that entrance was epic.
Yeah, because I'm yelling from the back.
I told him straight up, I ain't walking out to that shit.
And I'm in my skibbers back there, and I'm going, that's not his music. That's Kodo's music. Change the music. So finally I heard it come out. I said, oh, thank God, or whatever. But it really turned out to be a little bit more than I expected. I mean, we did put a lot into it. But, man, when I walked out for my match, when I saw that crowd, I said, God dang, is this WrestleMania or whatever? Because it was packed, and it was a lot of people, and it really helped to get, to put it on the map. So that being said, what's next for you, AJ? I'm going to talk about your fight that's coming up, but in the world of pro wrestling, I mean, what's next for you?
Well, for those fans out there, kind of putting, not for very long, but just for the next 30 days, I'm in fight camp. I won't be taking any more wrestling bookings until, I'll even wrestle the very next night. It's just that from now until the 26th, my mindset has to be all about this fight.
Yeah,
you
definitely have to stay focused, especially for that. So real quick, for the people listening, it's Knockout Promotions Fight Night. It's going to be Saturday, March 26th at the Metroflex Gym. It's at 12551 East Carson Street in Hawaiian Gardens. Doors open at 5 and bell time is 6. So, when I looked it up, it says you're fighting. It looks like it says his name is Dryan Hayes, or is that supposed to be Brian Hayes?
Whatever his name is, no disrespect to my opponent, but I'm not concerned with his name. I'm not concerned with his background. I'm just concerned with one thing, kicking ass.
Yeah, we'll talk about that real quick because, I see the people that you train with, AJ McKee and Antonio McKee. I even saw you talking to Gabriel Green. Talking about moving around and footwork and stuff like that. So Tracy Hess working jiu-jitsu with him. So this is my question to you. A lot of people say, man, I don't want to have a game plan because if it doesn't go my way, whatever. So I just worry about myself.
Well,
I know what I've been training and what I'm focused on. So is that the AJ Mana mindset for this fight?
Yes. That is not only the AJ Mana mindset in a fight that you should not have a game plan. That should be the mindset of any fighter that has a fight IQ. Any fighter should understand that, you'll have a game plan up until you get punched in the freaking face.
Right.
Right? So,
yeah,
I'm not one for game plans. In my opinion, you don't need a game plan. You should be well-rounded. You should be a sharpened tool, a sharpened weapon all the way around so you can adapt, you can adjust in any position of the fight, wherever it may put you. So, screw game plans, man. Just fight.
I don't
be war ready. I like that.
Yeah, I don't put much into that because I think a lot of, and especially like I was talking to Gabriel Green, and I don't know if he has a fight coming up or not. He was kind of vague on that, but I looked at him and he's in shape, and I'm like, dude, it looks like you can go right now. And he said, you know what? At this point in my career, you have to be ready because you can get called on 3 days' notice. You could even, some people even get title shots at 5 days' notice. So if I'm not in shape, that's on me or whatever. So you kind of feel that same way. You got to, I haven't seen AJ out of shape, to be honest, or whatever, but it's the same thing with you, right?
Honestly, I can't tell you. Well, shit, yeah. I mean, in high school, I was 98 pounds. Up until my junior year, I went up to about 150, 160. So I've always been in shape aesthetically.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the only times I was out of shape, I guess, is when I didn't quite run the 4.5 like I used to. No, I'm a slender guy. I've always been in shape, so yeah.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
I don't like embarrassing myself.
A lot of that has to be attributed too, because just like today, you got clients that you train, so you're always in the gym,
yeah.
And that keeps your timing and everything still good. It's not like you're just home on the couch. You're always at the gym training people,
yes.
Or training yourself, and I think that,
yes.
Makes a big difference as well, right?
Yes. In fact, my next client will be here within the next 5 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Well,
and I am
so going to
put his
ass
through hell.
Are you strength training or are you MMA training with this client? Or what?
It depends on the client. What I'm doing, if folks just want to trim down, I do a lot of freaking calisthenics with them. However, if there's someone that's already aesthetically in shape and they just want, I don't know, they just want to learn some stuff, maybe add something new to their repertoire, I have a killer program for him.
Yeah. Well, for the people listeners, if you follow AJ on all his social media, he is constantly putting up videos of that as well as what he's got coming up or whatever. So I highly suggest that you follow AJ on his social media. So once again, for the people listeners, if you want to check it out, Knockout Promotions presents Fight Night. It's going to be AJ Mana against Dryan Hayes. Big fight coming up. What's the weight on that? What weight are you guys fighting at?
The weight is 185, so I'm coming in not, you know, looking much like a wrestler. I've lost a lot of weight for this fight. And the reason being, because if I fight heavy, I'm going to be fighting suckers that are coming down from 300, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, excuse my language, but I ain't no bitch, but them boys are big at 300. So I'm just going to get back down to my natural frame of 180, between 175 and 185. So I have to up my cardio and lay off the heavy weight for a solid few weeks.
You know, I got a call here. Let me see if this is somebody for AJ. I got to be careful because I don't have a screening room. So hold on a second. Hello, you're live on UWC Radio. Who is this?
Hi, I got a question for Pete.
Oh, go for it.
Hey, you suck your own cock?
Oh, that was, see, this is why I got to keep these people in the screening room, because everybody's got the keyboard warrior.
Hold on, did he just say some stupid crap?
Yeah,
I heard the caller. Oh, wow.
See, this is, and I don't have a screening room, so I got to go live or whatever. So I deal with, you know, when I have the women on especially, I have to deal with that. So
yeah.
Tell that loser
to get a life, yeah, whoever is calling in saying stupid shit like.
Well,
get a life, dude.
Exactly. Hey, well, we appreciate
you. He was just jealous trying to get tips, you know.
He must have read your book or something. Who knows?
You know,
exactly.
Book me against that guy.
I got to tell you, man, to be doing what you're doing, you know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And like we always say here, what you put into it is what you get out of it. So I really, you know, every time I see AJ, he's training, he's, you know, and if this is it, like the fight, like you said, he's 100% focused. So I definitely look forward to checking that fight out. So for the people, don't forget, it's Saturday, March 26th.
Yes, sir.
It's at Metroplex Gym, which is at 12551 East Carson Street. Doors open at 5 p.m. First bell time is 6 o'clock. So, can they get tickets at the gym, or do they have to go online?
Tickets will be sold here at the gym. They can come pick them up here at the counter, or just DM me. I ain't hard to find, man. I'm training here. I'm fighting here. I'm wrestling here.
Yeah. Just go on, and also social media. Always keeping everybody up to date on there. Yeah. Pete, any last words for AJ before we get him out of here? You still there,
Hello?
Pete? Or did you get rattled?
I think Pete's hot.
No, I'm still here. I'm still here. I just want to say congratulations on that big win on Sunday. Good luck on your upcoming fight. I'm looking forward to watching you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
AJ.
That.
Hey, man, a million thank yous for, you know, taking some time out of your schedule. For the people listening, make sure you check out AJ Mana. Big fight coming up. We'll talk to you soon. All right, my friend?
Thank you. All right, Pete. All right, Fabi. Y'all have a good night. Right. See you soon.
You too.
Take care.
We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
All right.
Well, now that we've got to hear the keyboard warrior come on, we're back here live at UWC Radio. For the people listening, don't forget you can check out Paul's Photo. You got to check out Paul's Photo. Paul's Photo is your one-stop shop. So, you know, I write stuff in pencil, dude. I don't know why I do that, because then I try to – and my glasses are so thick. So make sure you come down and check out Paul's Photos for all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. Paul's Photo has a wide variety of cameras, lenses, lighting, as well as bags and cases. Paul's Photo also offers classes, workshops, adventures, events, and guest speakers. You can also check out Paul's Photos. Oh, my God, I'm done. Hey, Pete, I'm sorry, bro. I put it in pencil so I can't. He also does repairs, which include cameras, lighting, and background stands. Wow, he's got a lot of stuff going on over there. It's a new commercial, too, because we had to rewrite it. So check out their website today at paulsphoto.com, or you can call Mark at 310-375-7014. Paul's Photo, start your adventure today. Paul's Photo is a proud sponsor of UWC Radio. Took me a minute. I got to rewrite that thing in pen because I'm so, what do you call it? But, you know, Pete, and also Yards After Contact, dude, you know, Pete, I have a bag, and I don't know what happened to my paperwork in there, but I also have Yards After Contact, which got some fly cornhole boards that were custom made that have the logo for UWC on there. So
I've seen those.
So now before we used to play Chop Trivia, where it was just a question, and then if you get it right, you get something for the prize table or you get shot. But now we do cornhole board, and it just, you know, dude, people could care less what I have on that table. I have $1,000 on that table, and they want to see somebody get shot. So we got to do again, bro. But going back to the show and talking about, you know, making a concerted effort to get everything going, I want to go over the matches because the one especially, you know, there's a lot of people, I really don't know how to put this, but I never have a problem with, like, you know, I call them up and I say, hey, look, but we got this show. Go, dude, who am I wrestling? I don't care. The pay, no problem, dude. Just let me know where I'm at. And this is kind of how it was with Pete. Pete would always tell me, dude, you're not going to get rich. You're not going to make a bunch of money or whatever, especially when you're first starting. He said he compared it to basketball. You know, there's a one in a million that's going to make it to the NBA. It's the same with this business. He said, so, you know, don't worry so much about the money, but when they ask you, say, look, man, I don't worry about it, but when you start bringing the big guys in, you know, from Mexico or Japan or whatever, I want the shot. And if you give me that shot and you're not satisfied with it, you never have to book me again. He said, that's how confident that you have to be in your skills. And I took that with me all the way. I never worried about it because I had a full-time job or whatever, but I never told the promoter I wasn't worried about it because you know how that goes. But like when I they would bring the guys from Mexico and I would work with, I worked a lot with Blue Panther. He was one of the nicest guys that I remember because he would, and Lismark too. He was really, really nice to me. Mil Mascaras, different story. There's something wrong. So, you know, but I still got to wrestle him and I still had that on my resume. So I never worried so much about that because that's what we're doing. So that's what we do here. So when I put Guy Cool with Hellman Rosecrown, I thought this is going to be a good matchup because their son, you know what I mean? Blonde hair, blue eyed type of guys that, you know, they got the bodies and they come out to the, you know, the beats and stuff like that. And they get over like that. So when they went up against Príncipe León, who we brought from Vegas, because we actually went out, my daughter and I actually went out to, Vegas to go see Pride Style, and he stood out. I said, man, this guy stands out or whatever. Let's bring him. So, and when a dude's willing to drive all the way from Vegas or whatever, you know they're hungry, you know. And then you got Chaz, who looks like a modern-day version of Sasquatch. That whole match just gelled together. Did you get a chance to see that match at all?
Oh, yeah. The biggest thing for me was I was watching every match from behind it. I was watching every match back there. Uncle Chaz is a physical specimen.
Yeah.
He is just a giant out there.
Yeah.
And like just him moving around that ring and bouncing around it. And just Uncle Chaz, just this giant in the middle of the ring of it all. It was a spectacle. It was amazing.
And then when you add a referee like PG Jello, who already has heat coming from the match before, it just all made it, we took the people on a ride. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Because they were already expecting something from her because of the last match. I don't know how she would call that. You know, my dad would be proud. But that's not the type of refereeing we expect.
And in her defense, she turned around and she said, hey, you know, because they were going nuts. And that was Freddie Helmuth and JBD versus Drew Masters and Jay Rich. So somebody hit a low, and she didn't see it because she was watching the two guys on the outside. So when she turned around and she sees Freddie all messed up and Drew's just standing there like a walk in the park, she has to call it. And she told him, she goes, I didn't see it. I got to call it, you know, with what I see or whatever. So the crowd was livid. You know, they were just like, so she already had heat coming out into the match or whatever. So it just took all the people on a ride. They got to see a little bit of everything. They got to, like, some of the matches they went home happy, and some of the matches they want to come back and see somebody die. Boiled down to or whatever. And that's what Pete used to tell me. He goes, hey man, when you go do that match, I want you to either send them home happy, or I want them to want to kill you next time they see you or whatever. And that's, I mean, it's funny because just stuff like that has just followed, you know, all the way through the years or whatever, because that's what it's all about. So that part I thought went really well. So I think it's just going to keep snowballing from there. Now, here's, I don't know if you know the backstory on this, but this is what happened, which was good for me because I've known Koto Hiro for a long time. That dude's been training for a long time, and he's a good kid or whatever. But, you know, at a certain point in your career, you got to start, you know, depending on what you want to do, you might have to burn a few bridges, or you might have to turn, that's why he's evil Koto instead of just Koto Hiro. So when he went online and he said, hey, look, man, I'll take on anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care who you are or who you think you are. I'll wrestle you and I'll show you what's up. And I went, oh, okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you. And this has happened with other wrestlers before that have never done it. And I said, dude, I'll pay your booking fee if you come down. I'll take you on one-on-one. It didn't even take 5 minutes. And he messaged me, I'm totally down, dude. Name when and where. And I was like, okay. Honestly, I didn't think he was gonna do it. But when he did, I thought, well, wait a minute. Koto's in shape, man. He's been wrestling, you know, for a while, you know, all over the place. And I've been, you know, kind of working in the office. I got to get it going. So it made me get back to training and, you know, getting back in the ring and stuff, because if not, he would have killed me. Well, I mean, not that he didn't, but it would have been worse. We might have needed the forklift, you know, to get me out of there. So
somebody get him a body bag.
Yeah. And this is the God's honest truth. When we got out there, I knew he was gonna give me a good fight. I knew he was, but it was a lot more than I expected. I mean, it really was. I mean, luckily I still have enough weight where I can absorb some of the stuff that he threw at me. But if I wouldn't have made the concerted effort to get myself in shape, I probably would have been dead. So after everything was over, and he changed, he had a suitcase, and he walked up to me and said, "Hey, look, man, I appreciate you. and I appreciate you letting me get on the show, and thanks for a good fight. And that's all I asked. That's all. I just want him to come back and go, dude, get your fat ass in shape and call me in about a year or something. You know what I'm saying? So even though I got, you know, pretty crushed on that match, it still meant, you know, the world to me that he was cool with it and he was, you know, glad for a good fight or whatever. Now, I got one more somebody on the line. We're going to try it again. So we'll see what happens. Hold on real quick. Let's see what we got here. Hello, you're live on UWC Radio. Who's this?
Your favorite Mexican.
Which one is I have quite a few favorite Mexicans. Who might this be?
Oh, MVP, baby. Bull Ramos Jr.
Oh, hold on a second. I'm right. Hey, what's up, man? I thought you were working.
I am, man.
What are you, the boss? You could just pick up the phone and call into your own show or what?
Well, I got to find a corner first, you know.
Well, look, I know you're limited on time that you could talk, but, I got Pete Jr. with me, and we've been in for a good half hour, 45 minutes or so, and we all agree, everybody, even AJ, that this show, you know, surpassed anything that we've done before. And for the people listening, is Manny Pinson, who is the new owner and proprietor and who took over UWC. And I was telling Pete Jr. how much we fight, you know, because you always say, I want to bring it to another level, you know, with the lights and with the fog and all that. And I'm telling you, dude, you know, are you shitting money or whatever? And you're like, no. And I told him, I had to tell him, yeah, I was wrong, dude. That made a big difference. So what is that coming from your background in the music industry or whatever, that you want it to be a show, not just wrestling?
Well, you know, I learned a lot from Pete, okay, the business itself. And then being in the music industry as a road manager and head of security for many artists, you learn a lot of stuff, contracts and all that. But you know, the wrestling business is no different. You know, everybody complains about money. Everybody complains, I want this, I want that. And, you know, I don't want to go on stage first, you know, because I'm this person, that person, you know.
Right.
And a lot of times promoters say, okay, I'll talk to you later, especially if you're not a no-namer, you know.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know,
it was,
go ahead.
It was just so much, you know, the last show that we had, I had a few people, you know, that would email me or text or whatever, or shoot me a message. Hey, man, that was a show. You know, and I was fighting with Manico. You don't need all that crap or whatever. But this show, for some reason, I don't know why, but when I came out the curtain, I mean, it was just all there. The ramp, you know, the lighting, the fog machine. And when the fog cleared, it was packed. I was like, God dang, this is like WrestleMania or whatever. It just, the whole vibe and everything from top to bottom brought it to another level. So as I was talking to Pete, you know, in the opening and when we first started, you know, now it's we're trying to make it a concerted family effort. And I think a lot of that made the difference too, because it's now a team. You know, Pete's running the back, making sure the guys are staged are coming out. PG Jello is taking over the referee. She's making a concerted effort to train and get to know the business and stuff like that. So I think all that put together is what's going to take it to the next level. Would you agree, Manny?
Oh, yeah. Plus we got Michael, the commentary, too.
I even forgot about that we had the commentary and Michael went over there and did that with Tony Reyes. So it's just going to keep moving it to another level. So I agree. I mean, I had to tell Manny a couple of times that I was wrong, because some of the stuff I'm just like, dude, what are you doing? And then when they see it, they're like, yeah, this looks like a professional show or whatever. So real quick, I'll take it around the horn. Pete, give me your thoughts on that, because I think that's what's making the difference.
Oh, definitely. I feel like every show has gotten just that much better. It's the effort being put in. It's the production value. It's the hungry talent that we have. It's all of the above, and everybody has a concerted effort, like, as you said, to make the United Wrestling Council successful. And honestly, I just see it just growing bigger and bigger every show.
Yeah, and the thing too, Manny, is the people that, like, some of the people that I work with, they don't know what to expect, but they saw the flyer and they said, are you in this? And I'm like, yeah. They said, well, we want to go check it out. The two people who went, I mean, couldn't stop talking about it. They're like, I never expected that. We thought it was just going to be people hitting each other and blood flying or whatever they said. We never expected a big show like that. So I think that, too, you know, made a big difference. But, you know, let me tell you something, too. I've been trying to get Santana Jackson because I think that guy's awesome. So word of mouth has a lot to do because Príncipe León came from Vegas and they're all out there, Maserati and Santana Jackson. So as a matter of fact, I was texting back and forth with him today, and he even got worried. He said, dude, I heard it was a show. I heard that, you know, it was like a spectacle or whatever. And I said, yeah, man. I said, they put a line in. He said, okay, cool, bro. If you guys get that show booked for June, let me know, man. I'm totally down. So that is what I'm talking about. When people talk about the show, like if Santana Jackson says, hey, man, how was that show? To Príncipe León, dude, you got to come down and check it out. It was huge. So I think that's what we're pushing for as a cohesive unit. Would you agree, Manny?
Yeah. And you know what, brother? The thing is we have we're building a great team for this company, you know?
Yeah.
And it was you and I, you know, and the other person, but, you know, but the thing is that slowly but surely we're going to be up there, man. You know, I can't do it alone. You and I can't do it alone, you know? People are looking at us, they're watching us, and they're starting to trust us and believe in us, you know? And I think it has a lot to do with the man upstairs, too, Pistol Pete, you know?
Yep.
Doing the guidance, too, you know?
Yeah. Pete and I were talking about that, too, because I learned a lot from him as far as booking is concerned. If you put this person with this person, you know, the people are going to want to go home happy or they're going to want to see somebody get killed on the next show. So the way it was put together, that's where that influence comes from. So anyways, Manny, you know what? If I would have known you were coming on, I would have booked a little bit more time or whatever, but we're running up against the clock. So, you know, before we get out of here or let you go or whatever, what does the future look? I'll tell you this. It's always been Manny and I at the meetings, you know, all the time. So when I was at that meeting and I saw, you know, PG Jello and Pete and his sister, and I said, oh, thank God, now we have a team. You know, and of course everybody's like, heck yeah, dude, I'll do this, I'll do that or whatever. So now it's starting to come together as a team and we can, you know, spread out that responsibility a little bit. And I think that's going to take it to the next level because, I mean, if you can't trust family, who can you trust, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you know, with all that being said, what does the future hold? What is the pinnacle of where we can get UWC to?
Shooting for the stars, brother. Shooting for the stars. There's no stopping us, you know. We just got to keep on going forward and look back and see how far we've gotten from zero to a million, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, as we grow, you know, our families are going to be growing too and you know, with a lot of prayers and like I said, fans helping us out too. We got fans out there that are promoting the shows.
And
I want to come to this show. Yeah. You know, I spoke to a gentleman today, you know, and he said, if you need me for anything, please give me a call. You don't have to pay me. I want to be involved. You know, I really believe in your company, you know.
Right.
And I go, wow, thank you.
Four free tickets. and I invited four potential sponsors, and all four of them called me the next day. Hey, bro, how can we get involved in this or whatever? I said, man, we're gonna get with you, man. We're gonna definitely be in touch or whatever. Pete Jr., what about yourself, man? What do you think? I mean, I think it and it's a long story, and the people know it. But I was helping somebody before in Laguna Hills because he didn't know the talent, and then once he got to where he wanted to, he cut us all, and he took that and ran with it. So I'm like, all right, dude, I got suckered on that one, but this is what I'm doing with this. We're going to keep building. And once we get, we've already talked to a few people about bringing some of the luchadores from Mexico, Puerto Rico. You know, if we can, one of these, the pinnacle to me would bring some of these Japanese wrestlers because they're so, you know, with the strong style and all that. That's me. That's where I'd like to get to. So what about yourself, Pete Jr.?
You know, I completely agree. And like I said, every show has gotten better and better. We have hungry young talent that's putting on great shows, and that's just going to draw more word of mouth, and it's going to get us more and more people coming to these shows. That it's just going to keep growing. These these Japanese wrestlers, these Mexican wrestlers, they're going to want to come out. They're going to want to come out and see what's going on with UWC. They're going to want to be part of it. And like, we're just going to shoot for the stars, like Matty said.
Yeah, and like I said, when you know, let's say we call somebody, let's say like Mega Wolf or whatever, hey bro, UWC called me and they want me to work for them. I was, yeah, dude, get down there because it's a show. It's not just, you know, a wrestling ring or whatever. It's a big time show. So, Manny, I know you got to get back to work, man. I don't know if you heard me do the commercial for Paul's Photo, but I butchered it. So I'll I'll make sure I write it in pen because I was going back and forth. And also Yards After Contact, you know, I have to rewrite their commercial or whatever. So they've been a little bit with us from the beginning. So we're hoping to just keep building on that and just keep getting them in here so that we could really start moving onward and upward. Right, Manny?
Yeah. Sounds good. My thing is AP Jr., is it true that what you do, what that guy said earlier?
You heard that?
Only on weekends. Only on weekends.
Only
you know,
on
I don't. What do you get out of that?
Are you bringing to the show, man?
I don't understand what you get out of that. You got 2 seconds of fame, but I mean, does that make you feel good? I just don't get it, dude.
What it is is you wanted my attention, so you had to come out here and try to say something to get my attention.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's why, you know, that just shows you're professional. You didn't say too much about it, man, which is good, man.
Yeah, well, that's why when Manny was calling, I see the number, and I don't recognize, you know, his number because, you know, everybody just put it under Manny on your cell phone. So I'm like, all right, Pete, somebody's calling. If they act stupid, I'm just going to cut them right off or whatever. So luckily, it was Manny. But it happens, dude. I mean, hey, if you don't have somebody doing something silly like that, then you ain't working or whatever. But anyways, Manny. Exactly. Hey, you dude, who are you telling? Thank yous for coming on. We look forward to the next show for the people listening. As soon as we get everything set, you know, it does take a while, man, because it's a lot that we have to put into it to make sure that we have a good show. So I'm sure Manny will keep everybody up to date on his social media as well as UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. So make sure you check that out. Manny, I'll talk to you soon. All right, my man?
Yes, sir. Thank you, everybody, for supporting UWC, all the wrestlers. All the crew members, hey, I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. A million thanks.
Yes, for sure. So Manny Pitts,
y'all
everybody.
Y'all have a good night. Be safe out there.
Yeah, make sure you check him out on his social media as well as UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. All right, Manny, we'll talk to you soon, bro.
Later, brother.
All right. This is where we're at right now. Hold on a second. That's we're on fire, but hold on a second. You'll love this one. This is when we first started, and I was by myself, and then Manny would call in every once in a while, and he'd go, man, we got to do this. And I go, okay, here, Manny, this is for you. God dang it, take that crap off there or whatever. I said, nah, man, I got to keep it for you or whatever. So that's how it was, but it has grown or whatever, and it is starting to snowball into something that the people are going to like. So Pete Jr., man, a million thank yous for coming on. I know I kept you on for quite a while, but, you know, it was everything went so well or whatever. I want to make sure that, you know, we got a chance to let everybody know that now, you know, it's a family affair, man. You know, everybody wants to get there, do their part to bring it to, you know, to the next level or whatever. So I, for one, appreciate it. I was so happy to see everybody there at the meeting on Sunday. And, you know, PG Jello and them were there before me. I'm usually waiting a half hour for Manny, so I get there early, and they're in line before me. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? These people all the time. And next time you talk to PG Jello, let her know I didn't know if they had a hidden menu or something, but she got a root beer latte or whatever.
Oh,
and I meant to ask her. Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah, root beer cold brew. It was amazing. It was really good.
Oh, so you tried it?
I tried it. I stole it from her.
Well, you know what? Next meeting, root beer, cold brew all the way around or whatever. I gotta try that. I'm old, dude. I get the regular cup of coffee with cream and sugar. You know, when once you get to a certain age, I don't want to try that stuff or whatever. But this one, I think I'm gonna try it. But anyways, Pete, hey, please tell the family I said hi. Tell them I really appreciate, you know, that everybody came together you know, to really make this thing work or whatever. It's good to see that it's a team effort now, you know, and it's just starting to grow and snowball. So we got a lot of stuff planned for the next one, man. I mean, you just kind of keep building for that. When somebody like Santana Jackson says, hey, bro, I heard it's pretty cool, you know, or whatever. Now, real quick before we get out of here, have you seen Santana Jackson?
Yes, I have. I love his gimmick. I mean, he puts on great shows. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an awesome gimmick.
Like, yeah, and now
you don't see it. You wouldn't think it would work, but he does a great job at it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You wouldn't think that parlaying that Michael Jackson type of gimmick into wrestling would work, but the way he does it, I mean, we went to see him in person, and my nephew, who is good, you know, when kids pop for something, you know it's good, because kids, you know,
yeah.
they'll tell you the truth. But that's all he talked about on the way home, you know, and he left a lasting impression. So I'm like, dude, we got to get this guy over here or whatever. So we're looking forward to that. We'll keep everybody posted for sure. Pete Jr., main thank yous for coming on. I'll see you at the next meeting once we get everything put together and figure out the date, get everything set. We're looking towards the end of June. You know, if that comes to fruition, cool. If not, we'll just keep moving because we want to make sure we bring a good show. So again, Pete, main thank yous for coming on. Anything you want to tell all your fans that keep calling in before you get out of here?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you being on. Again, you know, we're super excited because the United Wrestling Council, it means a lot to us, you know, as a family. So we're going to do everything we can to help it succeed. Anyone out there, you want to follow me, check out The Real Press Start on Instagram, The Real Press Start on Spotify, SoundCloud, Spreaker, anywhere you get your podcast, you can check us out as well. I appreciate you for having me on. Anytime you need me on here, just let me know.
Absolutely. We got to get PG Jello on here, too, so that she can talk a little bit about refereeing and training and stuff like that. Because she's, man, I thought AJ Mana was busy. Man, PG Jello puts him away. She's been every time I see her, she's training and getting ready. So we definitely look forward to that. So RIP, a million thank yous for coming on. For the people listening, we'll see everybody here next Tuesday. With that being said, we'll see everybody then. Thanks, Pete.